And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup.
That old wheel.
Pull on up.
Is gonna roll
we'll have a good
around
time
once
right
more
after this song.
When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they...
Good morning, Radio Ranch Wranglers. Are you over there on the line, Jason?
Yes, sir.
We got Just Jason hooked up by telephone line. We got Charismatic Kyle. He's sitting here smiling with a cup of coffee.
Good morning.
Good morning. Then we got Right and Ready Richard. He's ready to ride. Aren't you ready?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. We are ready to have another time with coffee time with you and us. You know, we got together and we prayed before we turned on our introductory song and just basically prayed that this would be a session that we gather around the Radio Ranch microphone and be a blessing to the saints and stomping to the snakes. And we let the Holy Spirit lead. And Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be able to be on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, a unique network sponsored by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for those faithful ones, that there would be that teeter-totter transfer and that the treasures that the wicked ones laid up would be transferring just right steadily into the coffers of the saints, that they would prosper and be in good health even as their soul prospers. And we praise you and give you the preeminence in all things, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we'll just go with Jason this morning. What do you got this morning, Jason?
Well, I've been looking at some of the way that these, you know, we know from DC Street Sorcery 1, and we've been working on 2 and 3.
Yeah, right, hold now. On a second, will you, Jason?
Yeah.
All right, now go ahead. I got it taken care of.
We've been working on DC Street Sorcery Part 2 and Part 3, and it's become clear that a geometric pattern or shape radiates a frequency.
Yeah.
And it seems like I heard a preacher somewhere say something like it's all about frequency.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And it was, well, I was looking at a lot of these old barn stars. Back in the Pennsylvania region, they got, and up in Wisconsin, they have a lot of these, what they originally called barn stars. And they started appearing on barns about 300 years ago. And about 150 years ago, they started changing it from barn stars to hex signs, was the name of it. And hex signs, hex in German means witch. And if you look at it, it was just there was a transformation about 150 years ago between barn stars and hex signs. And a lot of people quit doing it because they didn't want to be considered practicing witchcraft. So they quit putting these barn stars on their barns. Originally, if you look at the reason that they were doing it back when they started doing it 300 years ago when they started settling, it was predominantly settlers that were coming in from Germany. And they have these, their reasoning for putting these on was it was a prayer to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it was a painted prayer. They used different colors involved in these barn stars. They used different geometric patterns. And it was to ask for the Heavenly Father to bless their livestock in their barns, to bless their farm. And it was a testimony that they were Christian. And just interesting how they came in and, it's obvious reading between the lines of what happened that they started calling good evil and evil good and changed the terminology to get people away from it and cut it off. And we know that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in Hosea 4:6, we know that we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it just shows you that, these forefathers of ours had some knowledge that has been taken from us that we don't have today. And I was thinking about it this morning, and I looked over and found that scripture in Genesis chapter 30 that talks about Jacob putting those pillars in front of the sheep when those sheep came to water and came to mate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to look at, I think it's verse 37. 37 says, "Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks and the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink." And it's just one of those things that I know that a geometric pattern radiates a frequency. Well, it's obvious that Jacob had this knowledge too. He was putting a geometric pattern in front of the sheep when they came to water and came to mate, and it changed their DNA. It radiated a frequency that affected the outcome of their offspring. And it was just one of those things that I was thinking about this morning. It's interesting, you know. And thinking back when Jacob, I wonder how many people called Jacob practicing witchcraft or sorcery, you know. Saying, I seen it. He put these things out there in front of them sheep when those sheep came to water, and he's practicing witchcraft.
Yeah, I bet you're right. You know,
but the interesting thing is he had this knowledge. He had the knowledge that, and he had the understanding, and it was taught to him from somewhere, that a geometric pattern radiates a frequency and affects DNA. And this is what our enemies have been using against us in the times that we're living in today. It's been something that's been stolen from us, and they're using a counterfeit against us.
And that's how they've been able to destroy manhood.
Exactly.
And this is scriptural, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what, my other two Radio Ranch Wranglers are going to have a hard time coming up beating that one. That's pretty good, don't you think, boys?
It is.
That's good material. But over there in Ezekiel 36... In fact, truth is, just the other day, Kyle and I were praying over a man that called, and I called Kyle in here. My Radio Ranch Wranglers understand a thing. What's the rule called, Kyle?
10-minute rule.
Called 10-minute rule.
But sometimes it's a 10-second rule.
In this case, I pulled Kyle off tractor, said, "Kyle, we got to do some praying." We came in here and did some praying and binding. But I had a man that, and Kyle knew him too, and he called, and he was fairly upset, troubled, because he's had some depression problems, and he had his hormones checked. And the hormone testosterone showed that he was below the lowest level by like 150 points. And he wanted prayer. He wanted his testosterone raised. And I gave him some scripture. We might even look at some of them this morning. But I also looked in scripture. And when you look in scripture, you'll see that Esau Edom was able to rob manhood. Hmm. Now, you go downtown sometime and you look at these young men. And I'm telling you, there's been a change in the DNA.
It's hard to even call them young men. A lot of them, you see, you don't know what they are.
There are some people you see that, unless you pat her down their breasts, and then you can be sure because a lot of men are growing breasts,
mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're looking at a man or a woman.
That's true.
And they've done it in a lot of different ways, but this thing of changing the DNA through what we see, I think a lot of it's come through TV and what they have as an example of manhood. Now,
and it's not just through what we see, but it's through, so much of it's through the music. You look at how music affects. I've been reading this week studies that they did on plants, putting plants in a controlled environment and playing rock music for them 3 hours a day. And a lot of plants wither up and die, you know, after 3 hours a day, after 4 or 5 days other, when they change the tempo and change the cycle rate and the beat on it, some of them will, like a plant that normally is supposed to be a bush, will grow straight up and down. Others will, their leaves that are supposed to be flat will curl. And what they're finding is the music can completely restructure the DNA in a plant, just on listening to it 3 hours a day.
And how many of these young people do you see walking down the streets with, what do they call it, an iPod?
Earphones, and listening, listening to that filth music all the time. All the time.
It says here in Ezekiel 36, let's look at verse 10. I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. And I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly. In other words, there had been a change. As you were formerly. And I will treat you better than at the first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men, my people Israel, to walk on you and possess you so that you will become their inheritance and never again bereave them of children. Now, one of the ways they're bereaving us of children, a lot of different ways. Our people can't reproduce. But pretty hard to reproduce with a vasectomy. That's just making men into steers. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you are a devourer of men, and have bereaved your nation of children, therefore you will no longer devour men, and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord God. And they are able to devour men. They've changed the DNA. So, anyway, one of the scriptures I gave him, and it might seem kind of silly to you, but it's scripture. How could it be silly? It's found in... let's see, I got it written down here somewhere from 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. You know, there sometimes comes a time if you have to act that fake it until you make it.
That's right.
You know, and stop this crossing your legs and popping them up and down like some woman and hold a coffee mug without your little, if I ever catch a Radio Ranch Wrangler holding a coffee mug with his little pinky held out, I'll throw the coffee in his face. It's time for men to be men again. And one of the ways is you start to behave, act like men. And the Bible talks being about transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right. And we got to make up our mind that God knew what he was saying. And he said in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Now this is a command. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, I put my two cents in on that. But I think that's an excellent out-of-the-chute thought there, Jason, on this thing of changing DNA, particularly that thing of what Jacob did.
Well, and it's one of those things that it's been going on, and we gotta figure out, okay, this has been going on. Now, how do we stop it?
Yeah.
And
how do we reverse it?
How do you stop it? We know we've been given weapons of warfare that are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, and we start looking at some of these things. Well, I've seen time and time again where a Baal priest, son of hell, will come in and say, oh, well, you got to be careful. I think that's a real touchy subject. You need to stay away from that. I think that you don't want to cause anybody to stumble. And I've been guilty of it myself, as far as saying, okay, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. You know, maybe I better not do this, or not talk about this, or not read about this, because you know you sure wouldn't want it to cause anybody to stumble. When you know, people got to get down and realize that what is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. And if you're not transgressing the law, you're not sinning. Real simple.
Well put, too.
You know, if you want to use a tuning fork to balance your brain, you can use a tuning fork to tune a guitar or to tune a piano. But when you try to tune your brain and counteract some of the frequencies of the electronics that we're around on a daily basis, I mean, 100 years ago, people didn't have a cell phone to their head for hours on end, you know, and weren't sitting in front of a computer. And all of those frequencies that a person's around affects their body. Your body has a complete electrical system in your body, and these things have an effect upon you. So you start looking at, okay, what do I do? How do I change this? How do I fight back against this weapon that's been formed against me? And they say, ooh, that's bad. That's bad. You can't do that. That's wrong.
Well,
kind of interesting, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we've lived it, haven't we, men?
We sure have.
That yes. Empty talker, Apple Kite, and his crowd thought they were going to pull us down, accusing us of witchcraft when you start looking into the truth. And, you know, there's a whole movement out there in the churches. I forget, what was it, Constance Cumby? You ever heard
yeah.
of her?
Yeah, she goes around and lectures keep an eye out and watch out for this New Age movement that would try to overtake the church.
Yeah, and the whole idea is to keep you from the knowledge that they've taken from you. And this is knowledge that's coming back in the latter days. I believe our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They took the knowledge, and it's warfare. It's going on. But that knowledge is coming back. And, you know, that star thing that it's a geometrical design.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard it before, it is all about frequency. And a frequency will create a geometrical design. We show that. Do we show that on one of the DC Street Sorceries now?
Yes, we do.
Which one is it going to be? Two or three?
It's going to be on number two.
But anyway, what it is, I've seen it on, and what it is, they take a square plate, it's got to be square, put something like fine sand on it, and then run a violin cord across the side of it, which creates a frequency. And that sand will all form into a pattern.
Depending on the frequency.
Depending on the frequency. In other words, the frequency affected a geometrical pattern. Mm-hmm. Well, the equation goes both ways, ladies and gentlemen. A geometrical pattern throws out a frequency. It's really that simple. So when they put that geometrical pattern of what they now call the hex, like it's some piece of witchcraft, on the barns, this was the old Pennsylvania Dutch, right?
Yes.
It was emanating a frequency. And, of course, they got to steal from us, so slowly they come in, they call that witchcraft, and they know that the sheep are social creatures. They want to be in the flock. Well, we don't want to be seen practicing witchcraft. We better paint over that thing and take it down. See how it works?
Right.
Well, and it's kind of twisted when they'll call something like that witchcraft, but modern medicine to take your animals and inject them with some blood that came out of a monkey. I mean,
good point.
Hello.
That's okay.
Right, or they all run to the pharmacy to get these pharmaceuticals, and I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look up the word, you know, pharmaceutical and figure out where that came from. I mean, you're right, it's just total hypocrisy. It's like double-minded.
Yeah, and they come up with nothing on their own. That's something that really synced all this for me, you know, that like Jason, like you mentioned about the tuning fork and those type things, is that the enemy, they have no originality whatsoever. Everything they do is a counterfeit, you know. You look at the movies that they put out in Hollywood, and you know there's no originality there. They you can usually trace some part of it, the base of it, back to either the Bible or the history of our people. And they'll take one piece and then they convolute it. And it's the same way here, Jason. You know, they take what at one time was a prayer lifted up to God in these barn stars, and they twist it and convolute it into something false. You know, the healing that the word promises. What do? They they get their twofold more sons of hell or their sons of hell to mock it and make fun of it on the TV and in the movies to where it completely turns the people off.
That, or they'll bring one of their own in to be a faith healer, like an Oral Roberts, to fleece the flock and to pervert the whole thing. And it actually ends up turning people away from this thing called faith healing. Anybody's got sanity.
Yes. And they do it with so many different aspects of the biblical things. You know, tithing is the same way. The average guy out there, the average family that's struggling to make ends meet and that type thing, they see these Benny Hinn's and these Joel Osteen's and these bastards out there that are just living the high life because they have fleeced the flock. And then they're telling them, oh, you got to tithe. You got to send me your money. And it turns them completely away. It takes blessings away from them, from that Christian people.
Baker and his wife was one of the worst at that.
Absolutely.
Because they were so well known.
And it's all by design.
Yeah,
it's all just to take the good and pure word of God and to convolute it and to render it asunder, to turn it, you know.
We're at war, ladies and gentlemen. We're at war between good and evil, and the children of the devil are there, warring against us. And they do it by instinct. They have an instinct to do it.
Well, it goes clear back to, after Jesus rose from the tomb, they had to start making up stories instantly. Because this stuff's going to spread, and they're going to find out that this guy really was the Son of God. So we got to put our men out there that start saying, well, no, this is what happened. No, this is what happened. No, yep.
They've been at it for over 2,000 years.
Yep.
Haven't quit, have they?
No. Along those lines.
Jason, guess what I might be having Kyle do this summer?
Painting a barn star?
Yep.
I've been doing some research. It's quite interesting. Different peoples from different regions had different stars. They had different prayers that were incorporated in different stars. And I ordered a book on it. That's supposed to be a real good book that dissects them and tells you what the colors stand for, what the shapes stand for, and I think that it was knowledge that was taken from us. It was stolen.
Well, we got a big red barn here at the Radio Ranch, and that baby is needing a paint job anyway, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We got the paint sitting here ready to go as soon as the weather cooperates. It might be a month or two. But
Barn star, here it comes. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Richard.
No, just talking about how how bad the enemy is and the things they do against us. University of California, Davis has had to back away from a policy that defined religious discrimination as Christians oppressing non-Christians. That was how they defined.
Now, who did this?
Religious
this
discrimination.
Defining?
University of California.
They defined
religious discrimination as Christians oppressing non-Christians. The definition was listed in their document called the Principles of Community. It defined religious spiritual discrimination as, quote, the loss of power and privilege to those who do not practice the dominant culture's religion. In the United States, this is institutionalized oppressions towards those who are not Christian. And that is how, at the University of California, Davis, that's how they defined in their, operating manuals, religious discrimination. And so basically, they... you had a couple dozen students that objected it and wanted it revised, and they said, it's absurd to single out Christians as oppressors and non-Christians as the only oppressed people on campus. And that ties right in with racism. Only whites can be racist. It's okay for this last week a Dallas County, Texas congressman or county commissioner to be able to say, oh, you are white, go to hell. You can Google that, folks. That's what he said. Black man stands up, black county commissioner. All you that are white, go to hell. Said it several times. That's quoting the black man. See, that's okay. That's not racist or anything. All you white people, go to hell. But if you have Christians that oppress non-Christians, that's racial discrimination. And so, anyway, they just, this is just one more of the many, many attacks, as you said earlier, Pastor, if we're in a war. One of the many, many attacks that our enemy has done. And thankfully, there were a couple of dozen Christians there that stood up to it and got it revised. They haven't published what the revisions are yet, but at least they've got that changed.
Huh. Well, these hippies, you know, I mean, you mentioned Cal Davis. You know, it's a hippie school, you know, just like, you know, the other universities of Cal down there or the one in Eugene or, you know, there's several around. These hippies, since the 60s, they've been coming in. They've feminized our men. They do everything they can to make Christians the enemy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what really makes me mad is, like, you quoted that black guy or whatever. Yeah, that makes me mad, you know. But when white crap like these hippies that I've seen a million times, they're all over Oregon, and they judge everybody. I mean, they go – I've heard them on the telephone saying that they wanted President Bush dead, you know, which I'm not a fan of President Bush, but it was because he was opposing their theology. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, they judge everybody, and they go around and they make laws. You know, I mean, there's no getting around it because they ended up, the ones from the 60s ended up in politics. They ended up, you know, sitting in seats they have no business sitting. They won't lift a finger to get dirt under their, you know, under their nails.
Not at all.
You know, and they have changed society. And I'm not saying that's all that's changed it, because we know when it gets down to it, you know, that it's just prophecy being fulfilled. But it makes me sick, you know, because these long-haired freaks, you know, and these short, bobbed-off women, you know, I mean, they're making the rules and regulations that, unfortunately, our children and us have to, you know, somewhat, you know, go along with.
They're Esau, Edom. They're children of the devil. They're the tares that Jesus talked about that came in and grew up among the wheat. Mm-hmm. Been fighting them myself ever since the 60s. Mm-hmm. Dirty bastards. And look what they've done to our country.
It's interesting. Right. It's like and we're distinguishing the righteous and the wicked, just like that Malachi 4:18. You know, it says in verse 18, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. And these wicked, I mean, we're distinguishing them. And it's interesting that you've been talking on this binding, the power that we have to bind and loose. And here's a perfect candidate, somebody that needs to be bound. Well, we should show them some Christians who are not just lovey-dovey.
All right, that nigger that said that, what's his name?
I think it's Price. He's a Dallas County Commissioner.
And that's what he is. There are some black people that are just flat niggers.
Yep, that's true.
That's what they are.
And there's some whites that want to be that way.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But oh, yeah.
There's white trash and there's black trash. Yeah. But let's come against that piece of trash, that black man. Yep. Give his name again.
Price.
Heavenly Father, there's a group of Radio Ranch Wranglers right here. We come together in agreement, don't we, men?
Yes. We do, yes.
In the name Jesus Christ. And we want this black tear bound right now, and so we bind him. Yes. We bind him and his big fat mouth. We bind him tight. We use the weaponry, the keys to the kingdom. We see it done in the heavens.
Yes.
We bind him to where his head can't even think straight.
Yes.
And he doesn't know which way he's going to go and what he's going to do next. And we kindle a fire with our righteous indignation. You said if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, it would be us getting filled. And so we kindle that fire and we call for that piece of tear crap to be dropped into it. And furthermore, we loose in the name of Jesus Christ, we loose this spell-casted ability where a black man can get up and tell white men to go to hell and there's not a white man around that does the thing. We loose that bind right now.
Yes.
We loose it in the name of Jesus Christ and let there be a rage and an indignation.
Yes.
And a backlash that will absolutely not only astound him, but every other piece of tear trash that Satan has sitting over us in these legislatures and city councils and so forth and so on. We call for it to be done. We see it done in the heavens right now, and we thank you for getting her done. In the name Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to practice more what we preach in here on that series. And it's that simple.
Yep. It is.
You know, rather than moan and bemoan, just bind the bastards.
Yep.
Yep.
Dirty, filthy pieces of children of hell.
Hey, Jason, on back to that, you mentioned the word hex means witch. Is that what you said?
Yep. In German, yeah.
In German. Now, what is a hex? I mean, I've always, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of a spell and you know, kind of grew up saying, oh, they'll put a hex on you in our letter. But does a hexagon have something to do with that or what?
You know, I don't know. Does it say for certain? But I would think that it does. I'm sure it has some kind of correlation with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always thought that in relation to like a hexagram was that related to how many, you know, angles it was, like a heptagram.
Right, like an octagon.
Or a pentagram,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right, in that instance.
Anyway, I was just curious. You guys hear the state troopers in Wisconsin, you heard that. They're trying to locate any congressman of the Democratic side.
You know, I saw
because they all ran. They all ran to different states, or at least they're not staying at home. They're not going to work because if one of them shows up, they can pass this bill that the governor's trying to get by or whatever, but they have to have at least one Democratic congressman there or it's invalid. Well, they all just took off right in the middle of the week. So they have actually the state troopers going throughout the state trying to locate one of the Democratic congressmen so they can pass this bill. I don't even know what the bill is. I'm sure it's a joke, but whatever. Yeah, that's how bad it is. They're running from each other. You know, so they don't have to, you know, sign something they don't want to sign.
Isn't that something?
Sounds like the confusion's in their camp.
Yeah, it does.
Praise God. That's quite a story. I heard about they haven't got quite a... Well, what's going on up there in Wisconsin? It kind of sounds like what's been going on over there in those Middle East countries.
Yeah.
Change.
Well, you know, democracy. I pointed this out the other night. The word democracy, they did a number on us in our head that got the American people believing that our job was to evangelize the world and create democracies. And this you'll never find the word in the Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence. And when we were pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, it was not to the democracy for which it stood. It was to the republic.
Yes.
But... In the late 30s or early 40s, the definition of democracy in the military handbook was the worst form of government that could exist because it would lead to mobocracy.
Right.
And I did a sermon one time showing that democracy is just a form of demonocracy, the government that demons prefer.
Yes. Right.
And now this demonocracy, which turns into mobocracy, is not only happening in the Middle East and so forth, that we think we got to go over and spread democracy, but we're starting to see something similar to that up there in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a good example of democracy, anyway, what I always think of is when Moses took a little bit too long to come down off the mountain and they decided to make this golden calf, you know, even Aaron, you know. Got involved in that because what was it? It was a democracy. Let's not wait anymore. We can't wait on Moses forever.
That's what the mob wanted.
Yep.
Good point.
Still got plenty of coffee here, guys. Jason,
here's a point. Over the radio, but. Different point, but did you know that Rush Limbaugh, supposed to be conservative, right? Now, the truth of the matter is, in the early days, he sounded good. You'd learn some things from him. But these guys, as I've tried to tell you before, ladies and gentlemen, they just take their assigned roles. They're actors. Mm-hmm. Well, he got married again. And guess who he had sing at his wedding?
Oh, I know this one.
I don't know it.
Do you know Jason?
Yeah, I know.
Everybody knows but Kyle.
Crocodile Rock Man.
Oh, Mr. Elton John?
Elton
Mrs.
John.
Elton John.
I wonder if they had their son and his gay boyfriend there, too.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh is supposed to be a conservative. People, wake up.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, how about a spot of good news? I had the radio on old this week, Thursday, I think, and Thursday or Friday, Thursday, and just heard on the regular news that in Iowa, they're having the like the state wrestling championships, high school state wrestling championships. And here was a young homeschool boy, 137-pound weight class, something like that, had, you know, like 110 wins and 12 losses. I mean, he was going to be the state champion. And he was homeschooled, play, you know, wrestling with the high school. They let you do that. And he forfeited the state wrestling match, the first round. And they said, we'll be back with details. So that caught my attention. I've had a couple boys wrestle before. So I went back and listened to it after the break. And what it was this young man had been wrestling for years and was.
Well, wait a second. Do you know what the? Do you know what this is? Do you know what this is, Jason? Do you know what?
No.
Oh, well, good. Well, I do. So I just wanted to make up for the last time when I didn't know what you guys were talking about. Go ahead.
Well, if you come back next week to Coffee with the Wranglers, I'll let you know why this shoe-in to the Iowa State Wrestling Championships forfeited his match. And it was because when he came up, they had a girl for him to wrestle against. And he, rather than wrestling, surely he'd beat her, you know, he forfeited. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I respect her, but he said, I'm not going to. He said, that's not things that boys and girls should be doing together. And I thought, you know, God, you've still got your 7,000 that don't bow their knee to Baal, that still do know right from wrong, that are not afraid to stand up and yield the state high school wrestling championship to standing up for their Christian values.
And, that's a great good
boy,
news
story. Boy,
it
made me feel good. You know, I mean, here we're talking, you know, it is dark days we're in. But, you know, didn't get his name or anything. But I thought, you know, that now there's some, I guarantee you, there's some Christian parents that have raised that boy right.
Raised him right.
And
That idol that the pastor talked about last week, you know, because he was going to win it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They said he was a shoe-in for the state title for whatever his weight class was.
That idol that he could have got, you know, and put on his little shelf or whatever, you know, state championship, you know, he decided it ain't worth it, you know.
So, and then one other spot of good news is, did you hear a few years ago back in California, the little 13 or 14-year-old girl was surfing, and she's like a surfing champion. She got her arm bit off by a shark, her left arm. This was several years ago. I don't know if you heard it. And then they put billboards up, you know, and it was like determination, you know, had this happen and went back to surf. Because she went back to surfing and won the championship the next year. You know, cute little blonde. Well, Hollywood's making a movie out of it. I think it's called, I don't think it's come out yet, but I just saw a blurb on it, Soul Surfer, something like that. And but the family's devout Christians, and it talked about in the little blurb that I saw how the father had stood up and said, you know, he says that when they filmed the movie, one of the scenes was him by her hospital bed reading the Bible, because that's what he did. Devout Christian family. And then in the first part of the movie, the first filming of it or whatever, they had, you know, he's sitting there with a Holy Bible, not a Book of Mormon, not anything like that, but a Holy Bible. And they etched out the words Holy Bible. And he basically stood up and said, no, you're not going to do that, or we cancel the whole thing. So they put that back in. And just to, anyway, just to, you know, it's just nice to see.
See, there's
you
a get shift. These, there's a shift going on.
Yeah, these little things like that you see. It's just encouraging to me to know that, you know, sometimes you think, you know, Elijah, we're the only ones here. What's going on? You know, show me. You know, I've asked you before, Pastor, you know, show me those thousands up on the hill. And sometimes you see them. And it's just, I think it's just
well, that story, it's good to particularly see that. Story about the young man, wrestler. I want you to bring that this coming Sunday to our Sunday school class of children.
Okay.
Because, you know, last week I went through this idolatry thing of the Vince Lombardi trophy. We acted out, had a little skit in Sunday school to show them the idolatry that exists in this country. And I think that would be a great story for them to hear, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I do.
The Bible says that God honors those who honor him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he didn't get the little trophy or the medal or whatever he would got as the state champion wrestler. But he got something better than that you can't mm-hmm. buy. Yeah. And that was a smile from God Almighty.
Right.
And a pat on the back said, that's the way to go, boy.
Yep.
I'd rather go through life with that than that stupid little
Amen.
Gold thing.
Because that never fades.
Yeah.
Well, never the truth does. Of the matter is, he's going to get a reward for that.
Yeah.
Way greater than yeah. what he's given oh, yeah. up. You know, I mean, absolutely. I hope he realizes that. But and yeah. it sounds like he will. So.
Yeah.
I want our people to realize so badly I want this, that right now we have a chance to qualify for kingdom service. Mm-hmm. But what we do here is going to qualify us there in kingdom service. We have glimpses of it when Jesus says to his servants, you were faithful in a few things, I set you over these cities and so forth. Mm-hmm. Things that really will matter. So qualify for that kingdom service. Good story.
And I like the promise that the Bible says that, you know, is the man that hired the workers to go out in the vineyard. You know, he hired them in the morning, and for a certain, you know, he gave them a promise, an amount that he'd pay them. And then as the evening went on, as the day went on, even those that he hired later in the day, he saw there was still work to do. He hired them on, and they get the same reward.
Yeah. In other words, right now you could make up your mind, and you might have lived like a hellion all your life, mm-hmm. But you can make up your mind and give your life to Christ. If you're not baptized, you better get baptized.
Yes.
Born again of the water and the Spirit, and you get in that vineyard and start working. And maybe you work for 15 minutes, you get the same reward.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Yeah. What a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's called revival. It's called repentance.
And people that think that, oh, the Lord's not coming back for years and years, I got time to still be a hellion, or I'll do that next year, or whatever, or when I retire, or when I change jobs, you know, it reminds you none of us are promised tomorrow.
You got
it. So he may come for you tonight. He may come for you on the way home from work today. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this driving down the road or live Saturday morning, it may be your last Saturday. We just don't know.
You don't know.
We just don't know. So all you can do is be ready. You know, work First Kingdom. And if you don't see the signs of the times out there,
then you're blind.
Then you are blind. You know, got an email in on Thursday evening. The earthquake's going on in Arkansas. The U.S. Geological Survey, and this isn't coming from, you know, some left-wing alternative media. This is the U.S. Geological Survey reported more than 30 earthquakes in the Little Rock area since last Sunday, including a 3.8 quake Thursday morning and 16 others occurring Wednesday. This is this past week, you know, here in the middle of February, two of which were 3.2 and 3.5. More than 700 earthquakes have occurred in that Little Rock, Arkansas region over the past 6 months. And you tie that together with, you know, they're sure the alternative medias are sure talking about Yellowstone, how places out there have swelled 10 feet. You know, places have moved up 10 feet around that super volcano out around Yellowstone Park. But you don't see or hear much about that.
You guys want some far out of the box thinking?
Always. Sure.
This thing about Arkansas, now, I don't know if this is of the Spirit or not, but it's a thought that occurred to me as you give me this. I've been hearing about these earthquakes down there. And isn't it down there where they had the dead fish and the birds, too?
It's in that area.
That area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is it called Arkansas? Here's the story as I've heard it given. And that is, in the days of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the prophet that God sent to Israel, to Judah, said, repent or the Babylonians are going to take you. Well, when the Babylonians took the capital, Jerusalem, the Babylonian king said, now you look out after Jeremiah, because he liked Jeremiah, because Jeremiah prophesied in his favor. He didn't realize Jeremiah hated him as much as any Israelite, but Jeremiah was just, he loved the truth.
Yeah.
Now that king, that Babylonian, took the king of Judah and put his eyes out and killed his sons because he didn't want anybody ever to be able to take that throne. But there was a couple things he didn't know. He didn't know that the law of the Israelites was that the inheritance could go to the daughters. And he did not know that Judah had two lines. Those were the two twins that were born. And they, the one twin, they stuck out and put tied a red scarlet to his finger. And it pulled back in. Well, that was, what was it, Perez and what were those two twins' names? Tara and Perez. But anyway, the one had gone to, that one line had gone with the Israelites, the 10 northern tribes, a couple hundred years before, and they migrated on over the Caucasus mountain range, where you get the term Caucasian. They settled into the regions of Europe there and the British Isles. Mm-hmm. And he was that line was king of the British Isles. Now, Jeremiah took the daughter of the king. Her name was Tiatefi. Mm-hmm. And he took her to Britain to marry. So the line would go on. David's line would go on. But it's also reported that he took with him the Ark of the Covenant. And then he came on over to the North American continent. He came up the river there. What is that river? The Missouri River?
The Missouri or the Arkansas.
Well, no, it breaks off in the Arkansas. But there was a tribe of Indians, and they saw the Ark. They were called
the Arcadians.
They carried the ark, and it is said that he hid the ark in Arkansas. Well, if that ark is sitting down there in Arkansas and represents the power and might of God, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be surprising to see that things start shaking, things start happening right down in there. Now, I'm not saying that's, I'm just telling you that that thought came to me as you were talking about the earthquakes there. There was a reason he took, made sure that ark was hidden.
Yes.
And it's interesting how in that what was that, King Solomon's Temple, or the Harrison Ford movie? The Indiana Jones movie, Ark of the Covenant one.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They had that, they were after the Ark of the Covenant, and they had, when they finally found it, there was snakes everywhere. There was snakes, and that Arkansas region where that ark, I think they specifically say around that Magazine Mountain area, is covered in snakes. I mean, there's snakes. You would not believe how many snakes there is around that area.
Yep. And again, our enemy gets nothing. They come up with nothing on their own. All they can do is mimic and copy the truth.
And in that movie, the Raiders Lost Ark, guess where the ark ended up at the end of the movie?
It was in a big warehouse,
and that warehouse is in Arkansas.
And there was a military base on top of, there was a military base in there, and that Magazine Mountain does have a military base on the top of it. And you can go all the way around that mountain, and the compass, with a magnetic compass, and the needle will point straight towards the mountain, no matter what direction you're going.
Yeah. What was the guy that we had at church here several years ago that talked about that?
He brought up the Lord. Zitting.
Zitting. Yeah, Zitting. I remember that. That was quite interesting. I think he brought that around Passover, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a Passover.
A few years ago.
I came out.
You know, Jason, we ought to have you line him, see if you can get a hold of him, and we have him on as a radio guest sometime.
Yeah, we should do that.
That'd make a good program, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It
would. Yeah, it would. If you guys go on an expedition there, I think I'll bow out if there's that many snakes around there.
Oh, that's all right.
There's two-legged and four-legged.
That's right. Yeah. And those those little judges work real well against either one of them, don't they, Jason?
Yeah, they do.
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking this the other day. I've been in this. Now, it was in the early 80s I come to realize the Anglo-Israel truth. And since that time, as I reflect back, I come to realize that this truth will bring you some of the finest people on the face of this earth that I've ever met. But there are so many snakes and flakes that flock to this truth, it's incredible. The snakes that come to it, and they're sleeper snakes, and they lay in wait, and they'll bite you. But there's something about this truth, it just draws them.
I think they know that it draws, I think it's a command of Satan that they have.
Well, they
know that it draws it's the truth. And anywhere the truth is, they have to come.
Well, I was talking to a person one time that was started playing some weird music, and music vibrations. And it drew snakes into them. The snakes were trying to get in their house. And you can take a different frequency, which will drive them away.
That's the frequency we need.
Absolutely.
Well, it's like you go out into one of those swamps down in Mississippi, and from what I've been told, you turn a light on, you go out there in pitch black, and you turn a light on, and those snakes come directly to the light.
Yeah,
you got to be careful when you're out on a boat or something, uh-huh. And there's snakes around. And you turn a light on, a lantern or anything. Snakes just flock
absolutely.
To it.
We used to fish at night down in Florida, and it'd be like that. You go out on a pontoon boat and put a couple lights down, and either off a battery or a generator, and of course it attracts the little fish, and that attracts the bigger fish. But yeah, you would have. There's several times that you'd have snakes come up to that.
Well, I have talked to one fellow that in Missouri, I think it was. He's telling about. Mississippi, I guess it was. The boat floated underneath of a tree, and they turned a light on, and there were snakes in the trees. They just all dropped down into the boat, you know.
That's when you go chance it with the alligators.
Well, we had one of the men on our ministry did an experiment. He was telling about it. I can't remember exactly how it worked, but he was working some land he's got over there in Missouri. And he put the radio on, did some experimenting. And them snakes would come to that radio. And you know what? He started doing some adjusting of the stations. You know what programs they come to the best?
Preaching, right?
The preaching.
Yeah.
Preaching would draw them to that. There's a lot to it. It has to do with frequency.
Yep.
I don't know how we got off on that, but... guess it has to do with them Arkansas earthquakes. But we're in a time, most interesting time.
Amen. Speaking of time, how are we on time?
Oh, like man.
We've gone through a lot of coffee this morning.
We're about out of time. This thing goes an hour, right?
It does.
Which means we got about 5 minutes left, men. You know, I never did got this. ADL leader says Mormons and Jews have a lot in common. Did you see that?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Absolutely they do.
The ADL headshot met with the Mormon elders, found out they had a whole lot in common.
Yeah, for one, they both deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Yeah. I was going to cover that. You guys could cover some pretty good stuff. So we better start wrapping her down. Let's just do a little more binding. Father in heaven, we come in agreement. Against the ADL and
yes, yes.
The Mormons.
Yes.
Two peas in a pod, from what I've been able to study. But that ADL group, we take right now those wicked, vile, terror bastards, Foxman and the whole outfit, and we bind them all. We're in agreement. We come against the ADL with a hatred and animosity that children of light should have against the children of darkness. And we bind them. We bind them tight to where they're confused. They can fight one another. They are confused. They will not be able to get their funding straight. they will turn on one another.
Yes.
We bind them, and we call for angels to take and bundle them and drop them into the fires that we kindle with our anger, those filthy, vile creatures called the covenant sons of Ai. Yes. And we loose their hold, their deception and their lies and propaganda. They have it in the schools. They have their tentacles in the government. They have their slanders, Lord.
Yes.
They've slandered this preacher and this ministry so many times, and they got blood on their hands. And we loose the bands that they have on the people. As right now we look in the heavens of this binding and loosing, we put right there the ADL and the Mormons, and we see it done in the heavens, and we know when it's done there, it will be done on earth. And we thank you for this new revelation, long in coming, that we can bind and loose. And for those that have come just to listen to this program and don't take it seriously, we take the dust and we dust our feet right now. We dust the dust off our feet and let it be a testimony against those wicked ones. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be. We pray it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I guess we'll go out with the snake song.
We might try it in the right side CD player. Maybe it'll, or maybe that was just the CD. Who knows?
Well, we'll give her a try. Just Jason, did a good job. Appreciate what you did.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, men.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Kyle and Richard, and I want to thank all you out there, ladies and gentlemen, for making our broadcast possible with your prayers and your tithes and your offerings. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Though
they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.